This is Mike Johnson with the download edition of the World Business Report Wall Street Update for Wednesday, the 19th of February. Well, it took the deaths of 26 people, but after 2 days of violent protests, the President of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, says he's agreed a truce with opposition leaders, a truce aimed at bringing the violence to an end. The BBC's John Bithrie is with me. John, within the past half hour or so, we've had some fairly significant reaction to this.
Yes, we have. I've just come off the phone to the opposition leader, Vitaly Klitschko, the head of the Ukrainian Democratic Alliance for Reform. He, of course, has blamed the president, Viktor Yanukovych, for the upsurge in violence in the last few days, calling on him and the government to resign. Well, a statement on the presidential website says that President Yanukovych met with opposition leaders earlier, including Mr. Klitschko. It said all parties had agreed on a truce for negotiations to begin to halt the violence. Well, I asked Mr. Klitschko first what his reaction to the truce was.
Just an hour ago, the negotiation is the first round of negotiation was finished, and I'm very happy because we find the decision, we take decision to break the escalation, and I hope tonight we'll be not fighting anymore, because tomorrow morning we sit again and try to find a compromise between the opposition or people and government.
And you will encourage your supporters to leave the streets, to leave the streets of Kiev and other cities tonight.
It's not my supporters. It's the people who are fighting for Ukraine, for the future, for a better life. And
so you don't have influence over them.
I doesn't have influence. I have influence in the people, not so much. I can't control the people, but right now the people listen to me, and I talk to the people, please don't be aggressive, and please tonight no activities anymore, because we have round of discussion, and we hope this will be peaceful break, and it's very important. No fighting in the street anymore, and we hope the president, because the president have full power and full responsibility for everything what happened in Ukraine, and we hope the president make step front to the people.
You think he's going to go? You think he'll step down after this?
We discuss about that. I don't know. And it's no ideas. Yes, of course, the president don't want to make step back. But we starting to talk, and let's see. Tomorrow is the next round of discussion.
That was the Ukrainian protest leader Vitaly Klitschko speaking to the BBC's John Bithrie a short time ago, and you can hear the full interview in Business Matters later here on the BBC World Service at 0100 hours GMT. Well, the recent violence follows the Ukrainian government's decision to reject a far-reaching trade agreement with the European Union and accept a $15 billion Russian bailout instead. Alexei Solohubenko is an international news editor here at the BBC, and he's also Ukrainian. I asked him why people felt so strongly about what is, after all, only a trade deal.
Original protests were very much about the way how all of a sudden Ukrainian government, after so many years of preparation and declaration of eagerness to join Europe, to enjoy the benefits of free trade, possibly free travel, and eventually European membership, all of a sudden the president and his cabinet decided to very, very abruptly stop that process and to turn back to Russia. It's not known what was promised and what was negotiated between President Putin and President Yanukovych, but shortly after that turnaround of the top Ukrainian leadership. They were rewarded with lower gas prices, with various benefits from Russia, and obviously the customs union was something that Russia wanted Ukraine in rather than free trade zone with the European Union.
Okay, so people care about this because they feel there will be a financial and possible working benefit of joining Europe. They will be able to move more generally, become more prosperous as a result.
I think for Ukraine, Europe is important not just in those terms. It's not just a personal benefit, but as a nation, Ukraine benefits very much from selling stuff to the European Union. The Ukrainian economy is working in a very, very simple way. It buys energy from Russia, uses it for manufacturing chemicals, all sorts of other goods, pipes, metals, weapons, and then selling them to the other countries. And this is where it gets its profit. Therefore, European Union and the United States as trading partners are very, very important, which is why I think the interesting thing is some of the very rich people in Ukraine, like Rinat Akhmetov, the president of SKM, which is one of the largest conglomerates in Ukraine, urge the president to actually step back from confrontation to find compromise. For them, sanctions and stopping of any kind of relationship with Europe is a disaster in terms of business.
It is a complicated issue, though, because I think about almost 20% of the country is Russian, not Ukrainian. There must be a lot of people who still in their hearts disagree and feel that their future ought to be with Russia rather than the European Union.
Yes, but I think the idea is that it's not Russian as citizens, it's ethnic Russians or Russian speakers. They're all Ukrainian citizens, and I think if you apply the Tebbit test, you know, they would probably vote for Ukrainian team and support Ukrainian team if it plays Russia in, say, European Championship.
That was the famous British cabinet minister many years ago.
Many years ago, who, you know, designed this cricket test of who do you support. I think even Russian speakers in Ukraine, with the exception of some groups in the Far East, they feel that they're still Ukrainian citizens with their Russian identity.
There are plenty of people who would feel more comfortable with Russia, looking east rather than west.
There are some people, and there are many people in eastern industrial parts of Ukraine for whom connections with Russia are very, very important. They're important because this is where they sell their goods. Most of their stuff goes there. But the European Union Association Agreement, it wasn't meant as a cut-off of various ties with Russia. And they know what Europe is, they know the standards of living, and they look at the example of Poland, who 20 years ago was roughly the same level of GDP per capita incomes, but now is way ahead, whereas Ukraine is stumbling and standing still.
That was the BBC's Alexei Solohubenko. Well, the minutes of a central bank meeting don't sound like the kind of thing to get the pulse racing, but they have just given investors on Wall Street what they believe is a good steer on the future direction of both US interest rates and also the Federal Reserve's massive economic stimulus program. Here's Chris Lowe at FTN Financial in New York.
The standout story was the Fed minutes. Market was essentially unchanged when they were released at 2 o'clock New York time, and we finished down about 90 points. There were two things people reacted to. One, a few members actually said they'd like to raise rates soon, and that, I think, caught traders' attention. Most, mind you, are still leaning the other way.
And why would they do that? Because the unemployment situation is gradually getting better?
Well, that's part of it. But I think mostly what they're doing is they're looking at simple rules like the Taylor rule, which are built around unemployment and inflation rates, and those do suggest there ought to be a rate hike before the end of the year.
And the second part of the concern was about the pace of economic stimulus from the central bank.
Well, that's right. You know, the Fed has been involved in asset purchases, mortgages and treasuries, since the fourth quarter of last year. They've been gradually tapering the rate of those purchases by $10 billion at every Fed meeting. There was some speculation in the markets that weak data would lead them to taper the taper. But what we got in the minutes today was a pretty forceful underscoring that the Fed will continue to cut their purchases by $10 billion at every meeting, unless the data are very, very weak.
That was Chris Lowe. Well, the Dow eventually closed down 0.6% at 16,040 earlier. Not much happened here in London. The 100 share index ended the day hardly changed at 6,796. How about the oil price? Well, April New York light crude, that's up 80 cents at $102.9 a barrel. And that's all for this Wall Street Update.